This is my first video update coming to you from Athens, Greece on this Tuesday morning. Let's talk about some news. So we had another big day of missile strikes throughout Ukraine. Every city was targeted, from Dnipropetrovsk to Lviv, Odessa, Poltava, Kharkiv. Every city was hit by Russian missiles yesterday. Ukraine air defense, though the Zelensky regime would argue otherwise, and we've gone over the Zelensky regime's magic math when it comes to talking up their air defense systems, but another effective day of missile strikes, blackouts throughout Ukraine, and the air defense systems, or whatever patchwork of air defense systems the Zelensky regime has at their disposal, was helpless against this this latest massive Russian missile strike throughout Ukraine. And this has become a pattern now over the past couple of months. The Russians launch a big missile strike on the electric infrastructure of Ukraine 1 week, and then the next week they kind of lay off and monitor what Ukraine is up to and how they're fixing things and kind of what's going on. And then they hit at the infrastructure again the next week. And all of this is having the cumulative effect of pushing Ukraine's entire energy electric grid towards an eventual collapse. And that's the pattern. That is the pattern that we're seeing. And there is no air defense system that Ukraine has in place at the moment, or probably in the near future, that is going to be able to deal with this on again, off again, weekly Russian missile strike towards Ukraine. Now, keep in mind, this latest massive missile strike against Ukraine was not done in retaliation for what happened earlier in the day on Monday morning. This missile strike was planned most likely many, many days in advance. But on Monday morning, you had a very interesting development, and that is that Ukrainian drones, from what I understand, Soviet-made drones that have kind of been repurposed, from what I gather, have been repurposed to fly long range and strike at targets long range. These Soviet drones, these Soviet-made Ukrainian drones, they hit two airfields deep inside Russian territory. One airfield in the region of Ryazan, the drone managed to hit, from what I gather, a fuel truck, and they caused a big explosion there. I believe no casualties were reported in Ryazan, but even deeper inside of Russian territory, towards Volgograd. Almost. I'll put a map up on the screen so you can see what I'm talking about. In an area, in a region known as Saratov, the drone managed to hit the Engels airbase, and it did some damage. According to the Russian Ministry of Defense, and this is according to the Russian Ministry of Defense, three casualties, three fatalities, and the air defense systems managed to hit the drones, but the debris fell onto the airbase and damaged two Tu-95 nuke bombers. That is freaking scary and dangerous. But this is according to the Russian Ministry of Defense. You get other reports from the Ukrainian side of things, which claim that the drones managed to effectively strike at the targets and the Russian air defense system did not hit these drones. So either way, that's not, I don't think that's the main issue here. The main issue is that you have these drones which managed to penetrate deep inside Russia, the Russian Federation. We're talking if they were launched from Ukraine, because as a theory, there's some analysis which is saying that these drones were actually launched inside of Russia by some saboteurs, a sabotage effort. was put together inside of Russia, and that's where these drones took off. I don't know how realistic that is, but the other theory is that these drones have been repurposed. They could fly long range, and they were launched from Ukraine, and they made their way all the way. We're talking like, I think like 650, 700 kilometers into Russian territory, and they hit at this this Engels air base, which has nuke bombers, nuclear TU-95s. I mean, that's the big story here, is that if these drones were launched from Ukraine, well, it looks like Ukraine has managed to figure out a way to get drones to fly 1,000 kilometers into Russian territory. And in this instance, they did some damage. Three fatalities. Now, there was a story running about a week ago, which claimed that Ukraine is now producing drones, or has the capability of producing drones, which can fly a distance of 1,000 kilometers. And they were testing those drones out. That was a story that ran last week. And who knows, is this what we're talking about? Is this the test run that Ukraine launched with these 1,000 kilometer distance long range drones? I don't know, but the retaliation, well, the missile strike yesterday was not in retaliation for what happened yesterday morning. We're gonna probably see a retaliation for what happened yesterday morning, maybe sometime in this week or the next. I don't know if there is gonna be a retaliation. But even today, even this morning, you had reports that a drone managed to hit the Kursk structures in the region of Kursk. And let me see if this was an air base or what exactly they hit in Kursk. Now, Kursk is, this region is much, much closer to the border with Ukraine. And there have been instances of many attacks in Kursk that the Ukraine military has launched. But still, three drone attacks in 2 days, and two of those attacks were deep inside of Russian territory. I can't find the story right now as to what they hit in Kursk, but let me know in the comments down below exactly what was targeted in this region this morning. So the pressure now is going to fall under the Kremlin and President Vladimir Putin, Russian President Putin, to retaliate. This obviously cannot go unanswered. I would imagine this can't go unanswered. The fact that Ukraine has launched attacks deep inside of Russian territory, and these attacks are starting to I don't want to say they're commonplace now, but you know, we've kind of become used to Ukraine launching attacks in areas like Kursk or Belgorod, in areas that are bordering Ukraine. And now we're starting to see that Ukraine is pushing further into Russia. And so, you know, this is starting to become normalized in a way. It sounds strange to say, and I don't want to trivialize this, but there was a time that if there was an attack, even in a region like Kursk, which is close to the border of Ukraine, that Russia wouldn't tolerate such a thing. And now this is war, understandably, this is war, but I think the public has kind of been, over the many months, desensitized to the attacks inside Russian Federation in areas like Belgorod or Kursk. And now we're seeing that Ukraine is saying, okay, well, we can hit these areas with no real massive retaliation, so let's push further inland. I don't know, that's kind of what it seems like. Even I don't report the stories of Ukraine hitting Russian territory, which is close to the border. I mean, I don't report on that. When I used to, way in the beginning, I used to be like, oh my God, this is crap. This is a huge deal. You know, Ukraine is hitting targets inside of Russia. And now, you know, no one even talks about it. But now you have Ukraine going further into Russia. Anyway, that is the story there. And we're going to see what retaliation, if any, is going to happen, but from Russia. But I imagine that the pressure is going to be tremendous on the Kremlin to answer to this latest attack in Saratov, in the Saratov Engels airfield. And I just can't help but think that all of this is connected. It's just my opinion, is connected to the recent trip of under, what is her title? Under Deputy Secretary of State, Victoria Nuland. That's her official title. Unofficially, she is High Priestess of the neocon ideology and order. And she is the chief architect, the mother of the Maidan coup in 2014. She is the one that gave birth to the Frankenstein Maidan coup and the governments that followed. And she made a trip. I reported on this 2 days ago. And she made a trip to Kiev, an overnight trip. She spent the night with Zelensky. And well, she spent the night at Zelensky's presidential palace. And yeah, she went to Kiev, spent the night there, and lo and behold, the next day you have the drone strikes deep into Russian territory. This comes at a time when you have people like Macron and Scholz making very public statements that they feel they should try to provide Russia or work with Russia to provide security guarantees for the benefit and for the future of Europe, and in an effort to kind of wind down this war. And they've acknowledged, Macron and Scholz, that Russia should get security guarantees from the collective West, from NATO, etc. I reported on this as well. So you have some high-profile European leaders talking about dialogue with Putin and security guarantees. Scholz spoke with Putin. I think Macron is trying to get on the line with Putin as well. And they're talking about security guarantees. The neocons dispatched Nuland to Kiev. She spends the night at Zelensky's pad. And you get these drone strikes deep inside Russian territory. They hit an airbase which hosts nuclear bombers. And of course, Russia is going to be forced to answer to this. They're going to have to retaliate. I imagine they're going to have to retaliate. And then when Russia retaliates, the collective West is going to then have to escalate on their side as well, in the form of sanctions or more weapons to Ukraine or more money to Ukraine. And so this vicious circle continues. This is the trap that the neocons, along with their puppet Zelensky, have put us in. I refuse to believe that this drone attack was not sanctioned by someone very high up in the Biden White House. And coincidence that a very high up senior official at the Department of State was in Kiev, and then you have all of this happen, and it just happens to be that very official that is most invested in the Ukraine project. And so you have this happen. Well, I don't think this is coincidence at all. So that is that's what I think is going on, or that could be one of the scenarios that is taking place with regards to Nuland, these drones, and everything that has happened over the past day and a half. So we await to see what Russia is going to do. How are they going to answer these drone strikes deep inside of Russian territory? And the EU, well, they are already preparing their ninth sanctions package, number 9, because the first 8 worked out so well. And we are getting reports from various Collective West media outlets. Bloomberg is one that comes to mind, where they are saying that the European Union is very close to agreeing to a ninth sanctions package, most likely next week when EU officials meet. They are going to approve a ninth sanctions package. And this sanctions package, according to Bloomberg's sources, is focused on tackling the drone issue. Now, this is important. This is very important because what Bloomberg is reporting is that the European Union, the Collective West, is going to use sanctions to try and disable Russia's drone attack capability in Ukraine. And they're going to go after, from what I read, 200 individuals, entities, military industrial complex companies, media companies as well. But basically, they're going to focus on entities, companies, individuals, that government officials that have some sort of connection to drone manufacturing and drone production and stuff like that. And this explains also why the United States is also trying to figure out a way to hit at Iran and to try to go after Iran's drone industry, because they're still stuck in this belief that it is Iran that is providing the drones to Russia. And then Russia is using these drones, these kamikaze drones, to hit at Ukraine. And so that's going to be the focus, according to Bloomberg and other media sources, of this ninth energy package. I'm sure they're going to put all kinds of other stuff in there as well. Perhaps they're going to put a full Schengen ban on Russian tourists and travel to the European Union. That may be on the table as well. But Bloomberg also reported that this sanctions package is kind of like the complement to the G7 EU oil price cap that they agreed on the other day. And so they needed to get the sanctions package passed close to the agreement of the EU price cap to add more media effect. Once again, Von der Crazy, the pirate of Brussels, is coming out with statements. Pretty much this is like a scripted statement now that she pulls out of her drawer every time they come up with a sanctions package. And she says, now this ninth energy sanction strikes at the heart of Russia's war industry and the Russian war machine. That's pretty much what she's saying. I'll try to dig up the quote if I can find it and put it up on the screen. But I mean, I think we've pretty much memorized the standard line that she recites after every EU sanctions package, which is, these EU sanctions packages, this is going to be the one that makes a difference. And this is the sanction package that strikes at the heart of Russia's military capability and Russia's war machine. That was pretty much her statement. But Politico, I pulled up a Politico article right now. EU is finalizing the plan for the next wave of sanctions. So yeah, that's... Oh, here we go. Here's a Von der Crazy quote. We are working hard to hit Russia where it hurts, to blunt even further its capacity to wage war on Ukraine. Von der Leyen said, adding that work on the matter is proceeding at full speed because we are going to make sure that Russia's economy is in tatters, I tell you, in tatters. That is the goal. We have to make sure that Russia's war machine is in tatters and their economy is in tatters, and that they have no more dishwashers to get those microchips so that they can put those microchips in fighter jets. I am telling you, tatters, tatters, tatters. Anyway, it is significant that the Collective West is admitting that the only tool they have to stop the Russian drone strikes in Ukraine are sanctions. They're pretty much admitting that their little patchwork scheme of air defense systems, you know, air defense systems from the Netherlands and the UK and the US and France, that it's not working. It's not stopping the Russian drones and the missiles. And so what's the only tool they have left? Sanctions. And that's not going to work either. Sanction Iran, sanction Russia, sanction individuals, entities. Let's try to figure out who's involved in this drone industry that Russia or Iran has, so that we can kind of stop the airstrikes on Ukraine via sanctions. This is an admission of defeat from the collective West. This air defense thing that they were talking about 2 weeks ago, that they're gonna give Ukraine all of these air defense systems and that's gonna protect Ukraine. Well, they're admitting here in this new sanctions package that it's not working. They have no answers on a military level. They have no answers to stop Russia. So what are they gonna do? They're gonna try to figure things out on a sanctions level. Anyway, let's talk about Germany and France. No, not Germany and France. Let's start with Germany and Norway first, and then we'll go to France afterwards. And now we're gonna enter a series of clown worlds. Now we're gonna enter clown world. And I really, really mean that. So Norway and Germany. Norway and Germany. Boy, oh boy. Here we go. Norway and Germany are asking NATO to protect underwater gas pipelines. According to Zero Hedge via Remix News, German Chancellor Olaf Scholz and Norwegian Prime Minister Jonas Gahr Støre have called on NATO to protect underwater pipelines and communication cables by creating a special coordination structure, according to Deutsche Welle. Pipelines, telephone, and internet cables are vital communications for our states. Their safety should be given top priority, Scholz said, following his meeting with Norwegian Prime Minister Jonas Gahr Støre on the eve of the Berlin Security Conference. You know what this is? This is mafia, textbook mafia. Excuse me. This is textbook mafia tactics from the collective West. Germany and Norway are now going to ask for protection from the very people. Well, allegedly, let's just say allegedly, you know, Liz Truss is alleged tweet to Blinken where she says it's done anyway. Germany and Norway are going to go to the very people. They're going to ask for protection from the very people that allegedly blew up the pipelines to begin with. This is Goodfellas, the Godfather, Goodfellas. I mean, what more can you say? This is mafia tactics. You know, the mafia knocks on your door and they tell you, you have to pay us for protection or else. Protection from what, Mr. Mob Boss? Well, protection from us. That's how the mafia works, right? This is exactly what's going on in Stoltenberg. He came out with a comment after Scholz's request. He came out with a comment and he said, yeah, absolutely. We see this as a very favorable development for NATO to come in and protect the very pipelines that some of our member states probably knocked out to begin with. Oh, man. You couldn't write a script for this stuff. You couldn't write a better script for this stuff. I mean, pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. Anyway, it gets better, by the way. Let me put the cherry on top of this very serious but yet clown world story. Sticking with Scholz after he makes his request to NATO to protect Germany's pipelines. Okay. Scholz then reveals his vision for Germany's role in Europe, and Scholz is seeking, according to Foreign Affairs magazine, is seeking to become the guarantor of the continent's security. This is what he told Foreign Affairs magazine. With the world undergoing tectonic changes, Germany's role must be to ensure Europe's security, Chancellor Olaf Scholz has written in an article for Foreign Affairs magazine. The beginning of Russia's military offensive in Ukraine marked the end of an era, he states.
Okay, Olaf Scholz, Germany, you're gonna be the guy, Olaf. You're gonna be the guy that is going to guarantee Europe's security. You can't guarantee the security of a freaking pipeline. How are you gonna guarantee the security of all of Europe? We kind of know who did the pipeline job, and you're looking the other way, and now you're coming back to the German citizens, to European citizens, and you're coming back to all these people in Europe, and you're saying, we're going to be the ones that are going to guarantee your security? Okay. All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll pass on that one. Oh my God, Olaf. Incredible. I think right now Olaf Scholz should get to the bottom of what happened with Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2 before he goes off and starts making these big promises of guaranteeing all of Europe's security. How about that? How about you get to the bottom of Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2? It's not too hard. I don't think it's going to be too difficult to figure out. It's done. Liz Truss, who did it? I don't think you need a huge investigation there. But anyway, let's now move on to clown number two. And that is Emmanuel Macron. So let's see here. When did I do that video of his CBS? Yesterday, I talked about his CBS interview that he gave when he was visiting Bidenopoulos, Greece's favorite son, in the White House. And during the CBS interview, let me find it here. This one's great. During the CBS interview, they asked Macron about what he sees when he stares into Putin's eyes. French President Emmanuel Macron sees resentment in Russian President Vladimir Putin's eyes due to his belief that the West seeks to destroy his country. Speaking to CBS News on Sunday, Macron was asked to give his own take on what he sees in Putin's eyes, as former U.S. President George W. Bush famously did in 2001 when he says, "I found him to be very straightforward and trustworthy." The French president replied that he sees a sort of resentment, that's a direct quote, which he believes is aimed at the Western world, including the EU and US. And it is underpinned by the feeling that our perspective was to destroy Russia. "I don't believe this is our perspective. It has never been our perspective in France," Macron said, adding that during negotiation with his Russian counterpart, he sensed Putin's view of his own destiny. "I stared into Putin's eyes." CBS interview guy or girl. I don't know who interviewed him. "I stared into Putin's eyes, and what I saw was resentment." Oh, my luck. What a bunch of clowns these guys are. What a bunch of clowns. Come on, script writers in D.C. Script writers at WEF headquarters. Script writers in London or France. Come on now. You have to rehash a script from George Bush's days? You can do better than that. You guys can do better than that. Have you run out of original ideas already that you have to repackage, repurpose? George Bush's script, his line with, "I stared into Putin's eyes and I saw a soul, a straightforward, trustworthy soul," or whatever Bush said. You had to pull that one out of the archives. God, come on, guys. Where's your creativity? You're losing it, scriptwriters. Assad must go. Putin must go. I stared into his eyes, George Bush. I stared into his eyes, Emmanuel Macron. Very disappointing from our beloved scriptwriters. Very disappointing. You know, Macron, for his part, you know, he did his best to
to pull the line off. You know, he did what he needed to do to make that line really stick, you know. But it's hard to work as an actor when you're given such types of scripts. We can't blame Macron. He's just the actor. This is really the fault of the script writers, and you know, he's doing the best he can with the material he's been given. But yeah, what do you see when you stare into Macron's eyes? What do I see when I stare into Macron's eyes? When I stare into Emmanuel's eyes, I see a banker, globalist, Klaus Schwab puppet. That's what I see when I stare into Macron's eyes. I like the response of, well, where did Putin come up with the idea that we want to destroy Russia? Where could he have possibly come up with that idea? Maybe the fact that maybe the fact that Joe Biden said it during a trip to Poland 5 months ago, that he wants regime change in Russia. Maybe, I don't know, maybe he got the idea from there. I don't know. maybe just that might have kind of, you know, given a hint to Putin that yeah, they want regime change. I'm sure that Putin's just imagining all this stuff, all of this, you know, collective West, regime change, balkanization of Russia, the conferences in Prague that took place 3 months ago about breaking Russia up, Kasparov and his little think tanks that talk about balkanizing Russia, the think tanks, the NGOs, the John Boltons of the world, you know, take all of that out, the Navalny's and the protests that they try to engineer in Russia and all the regime change all around the world. And yeah, take all of that and put that aside. Where could Putin be getting this crazy idea that they want regime change in Russia? Not forcing Zelensky to just say that Ukraine's going to be neutral, not following Minsk 1, not following Minsk 2, pouring weapons into NATO weapons into Ukraine, pouring mercenaries into Ukraine, all of these things. Well, where would he get this idea that they want regime change? Putin, you're being silly. That's what Macron is telling Putin. Putin, man, you're being silly. We don't want regime change, bro. That's the furthest thing from our mind. Anyway, let's do one more cloud roll, then we'll wrap this up. And this is going to be a super quick one. The Financial Times. The Financial Times, they have named their Man of the Year. Can you say Man of the Year? Or is it Person of the Year? Person of the Year. They've named their Person of the Year, and it is none other than Clown number 3, which is Zelensky. Zelensky is the Person of the Year. So we went from Schultz to Macron to Zelensky. This is like a full house of clown worlds today, a royal flush of clown worlds. So that is FT's Person of the Year, Zelensky. And Time is going to come out with their Person of the Year, and I wouldn't be surprised if you see Zelensky's name pop up again. I know he's on the short list, but don't be surprised if Zelensky is not named Time Magazine's Person of the Year. So that is the video, everybody. TheDuran.locals.com. We are also on Rockfin as well. You can find us on Telegram, on Rumble, on BitChute, on Odyssey, and the Duran Shop. 10% off. Use the code GOODDAY. Look for the Duran's channel on all of those platforms. Look for Alexander's channel on all of those platforms. If you like this video, drop me a like. Click that subscribe button and hit that bell so you can be notified the next time I put out another video. Take care.